Welcome back to the microphone, Nick Gosnell.
Thank you very much, Rob. In studio with us this morning is Hutchinson Reno County Chamber of Commerce CEO Deborah Tufel. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Nick.
All right. Well, let's talk just a little bit. I'll ask the question that I think I've asked you every month. For the last six. But we'll start with it and we'll go from there, which is anything final on the spec building? I know you guys have been really close with lots of different folks, but nothing quite consummated yet that I've heard about.
No, but you know, there's been some really good activity out there, and a company that has been pretty open with us in the community and even within their industry circles that's in the wind energy supply chain has been intently looking at that building for 2 years. And the only thing holding them back from signing a lease on it really is their downstream customer, which in this case, it's no secret, Siemens is our wind energy company here that builds nacelles. And so they would love to have that building, but they also need a contract. So we continue to market it. There have been some great expansion opportunities with local companies that have also been considering it. And so I think it's been this this dilemma for the developers of the building. Do we use it for a local expansion and then we don't have the product to bring in someone from outside? But either way, they would view it as a win. And so we keep pitching it. I think we're really close with another company here in town that's considering an expansion. However, they have two options on the table. So that's going to be in their court to decide, but they're going to decide in the next couple of weeks. In fact, one of those projects is we're trying to get really creative on some workforce solutions for them. We're even talking about proposing to the county, looking at some relocation incentives that not just help the company, but help the individual, because what we don't want to do is help a local company expand and then they're all stealing from each other's workforce. We really need to be a net importer of people moving into Reno County. And this company wants to be on the front end of that. And so they're working with us creatively on some relocation incentives. And then on the recruitment front, we have a lot of projects in our pipeline that somehow have just popped this week, and they're in anything from aerospace supply chain to semiconductors and other kinds of advanced manufacturing. So we're pitching the spec building in our sites here in Reno County for those too.
Well, I don't know what we did or what happened in Hutchinson to allow everybody to kind of think of you all at the same time. Other than to say, I think that the economy generally, I'm not going to say we're back to normal because I don't know what normal was. I don't remember what normal was prior to the pandemic, Deborah. I'm not sure very many people do. But we are back to people not necessarily having that black swan reticence, to use an economic term, that something's going to happen, the other shoe's going to drop, reticence to do things that they may have had for the last couple of years.
No, there's a lot of optimism out there. And, you know, I don't know what the new normal means, but I would say just yesterday, we met with leaders of another company here in town. They have facilities in two states. And the thing that they're looking at is really doubling in size, but it's mostly because they want to reshore some things. There's work being done overseas or in Mexico that they want to bring back. And that's just a trend across manufacturing to make sure you're protecting your supply chain and you aren't vulnerable to global insecurities. Making sure that you can build things right here is the number one way to do it. And so there's some really good pent-up demand for expansion, and I think it just seems like it's all going to come to fruition at once. But that's a trend across the spectrum right now, and it isn't isolated to any one particular industry. It could be in steel. It could be in, like I said, semiconductors. More of that work, I think, is going to find its way right here to the Midwest.
Right, especially with the Panasonic expansion in Kansas City that everybody is looking at too. Now, back to your previous topic for just a second, which is workforce. The unemployment rate in Reno County actually was up over the previous month, but still below 3%. So you look at that and you have to say that is a mixed bag, because that probably actually means good things too, I would think. I mean, just thinking logically, it means more people are looking, not necessarily that more people are that people have lost jobs, at least when it's down below 3%, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think, you know, the numbers show we probably have about 600 job seekers right now out there looking for jobs, and that's, but yet we probably have twice that many job openings in reality. So we are still at what most people consider full employment. But things are improving a little bit. But I think all the companies here recognize they've done things internally. They've increased wages. They've tried to be as flexible as they can and offer great benefits. Beyond that, they know that it isn't going to benefit us just to keep churning the same pool of workers. And so that's really why, you know, we started looking at what does a relocation incentive look like? And it doesn't mean just governments investing in it. You know, it might be philanthropy. It might be the chamber getting involved. It might be the companies willing to provide some match, but also then looking to partners to be creative about what kinds of things could we offer people that are moving here to Reno County.
Here's one. You want an idea, Deborah? Here's one from Nick. A subsidy that philanthropy can do for the first, I don't know what you want to call it, however many years of Chamber Blue health insurance coverage. So that your small businesses can offer that health insurance coverage at not only competitive rates, but at actively lower rates as an effort to draw people in that are local, and also to use the local healthcare infrastructure, as the largest employer in Reno County is still Hutchinson Regional Healthcare System. So the idea is that rising tide would lift all boats. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a great idea, Nick. Let's explore it.
Anyway, I've got plenty of ideas. I'll talk to Deborah about some of them, and maybe they'll come out of her mouth after this on BW. Back on the BW Morning Show, Nick Gosnell and Deborah Tufel with the Hutchinson Reno County Chamber of Commerce. And it just feels weird not to be talking about the basketball tournament yet. Obviously, that's coming up later on this month, and the Chamber Breakfast is what it usually is, which is the Thursday of the, or I should say not the Thursday, the Wednesday of the tournament that they have the NJCAA as the hosts. But now that the hotel project is moving dirt, have you had conversations, you or Leanne, either one, with the NJCAA about the progress that's being made in that regard?
I can't tell you if Leanne has had conversations with NJCAA about the hotel. However, as teams start qualifying and she starts placing teams in hotels around the area, and some of those have to still be outside of Hutchinson, that subject is going to continue to come up. And what she has been really sensitive to is making sure that there's progress being evident out there on the hotel development site by the time that the NJCAA officials arrive in Hutchinson. It was really important that they see progress and that they get some assurance that facility is going to be open by next March. So they've been not just moving dirt. It looks like they're getting a lot of infrastructure in the ground first before it starts going vertical. But she's very hopeful things are going to start going vertical before the officials arrive.
Okay. So looking forward to that here in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, if the weather holds, which it looks like it's going to right at the moment. I've never asked this question specifically of Leanne. So if you don't know the answer, that's okay. You can find out from her and get back to me. But if Hutch qualifies, do they stay in a hotel?
They do stay in a hotel. They have to be given the same experience that the other teams have. And so I can't tell you exactly how they do the determination of who stays here and who stays elsewhere. I believe there was a year where a somewhat local to Kansas team had to stay farther away and were pretty unhappy about it. And, you know, that's just the reality we've been living in with this shortage of hotel rooms.
Well, and so that's part of the solution is there, but it still isn't the complete solution to what was the atrium. That was over 200 rooms. This is a little over 100. So any further discussions with anybody else about filling the rest of that gap?
Well, you know, I think that could be a strong component to what we work on now that we have the Downtown Hutch Master Plan. And we're really hopeful that this hotel is going to be successful, and then we can defend the need for a hotel somewhere on the Main Street corridor at some point in the near future.
Well, as I walked downtown in Salina, I had to do a concert earlier this past fall. That's exactly what I thought of, seeing a hotel there on Santa Fe with a main brand on it. And I thought to myself, boy, that'd be nice if Hutchinson had something like that.
Yes. And, you know, when we looked at the hotel opportunities for development going back 7 years ago, there was a study that was done about where is the right place for a hotel. Should it be downtown? Should it be near the fair or on the fairgrounds? Or should it stay on the K-61 corridor? And the reality is, at that point, the study still proved out that the most successful place at that point in time would probably still be K-61. So that's really led to where we are today. It doesn't mean that for the future, as we continue to bolster the development of downtown, that there wouldn't be a place in the future for a hotel. So I really do foresee that that would be one of the next steps. We want to also see the opening of the Hoke and their new beautiful boutique hotel. And that's really going to kind of help test the waters on can a downtown hotel be successful.
Do you have any kind of date from the Davenports on that or anything with that?
I don't, but you know, that we should get them on the radio sometime and let them talk about their vision for that. I have not heard an exact opening date.
Okay, well, we'll have to get them back next time they're back in town. I'll let you work on that side of it, because you'll probably know before I do next time they're going to be visiting. So we'll figure that out when they come in, but they were a part of the Startup Hutch event here earlier on this year, so I know that project is continuing forward, and just excited to see how that goes going on from here. But as far as Hutchinson retail, Baumgar's having their grand opening here in a few days, and it's just nice to see things continuing to go forward.
Yeah, you know, we've continued to fill in some of those vacancies, and in fact, you mentioned Baumgar's. We have a ribbon cutting for their space today at 10 a.m., so we're ready to celebrate with them, just like we did with Atwood's. There's a lot of good things happening, and I think we just had a meeting yesterday to really start sinking our teeth into the work of the master plan. And there's a lot of partners around the table there. So, you know, there's some still some significant holes in downtown to fill in and along our other commercial corridors. So there's great opportunity, but some good things happening.
Again, we're talking to Deborah Tufel with the Hutchinson Reno County Chamber of Commerce. News at 7:30 is on the way next on BW.
Nick Gosnell.
Thank you very much, Rob. In studio with us once again, Deborah Tufel. She is with the Hutchinson Reno County Chamber of Commerce. And Deborah, I feel like breaking news all the time, but something in particular I want to let people know about is there's going to be an event on that day that they're not playing during the tournament, because there's a new setup for the tournament. So we'll just go back over that a little bit and then talk about what's going to happen on that Friday.
Right. So just so everyone knows, the tournament is starting on Sunday this year. That is a day earlier than normal. And they will have games playing Sunday through Thursday. And then on Friday, while there is a break in game activity, there's going to be a new event here in Hutchinson hosted by the NJCAA. And it is going to be held at noon at the Crystal Ballroom at the Burt in downtown Hutch, Friday, March 29th. And it is a special luncheon to honor the NJCAA, to honor the players and teams that then will be playing in the finals, and of course all of the folks with the American Legion and local officials that help put this event on. And so those tickets are on sale now at the njcaa.org/tickets website. Tickets for lunch are $25. What I'm told is that tickets are only on sale through next Friday, so through the Friday prior to this event. So March 22nd, get your tickets before they sell out. And then, of course, there's signs up all over town. You really can't miss them, but you can also go to that website, njcaa.org/tickets, to get your tickets to all of the action.
Exactly. And again, we will have the coverage here on BW Radio, on the radio, for the games that that you have to miss for work or whatever it is. We'll have that here on BW once the tournament gets started on Sunday and then goes through that Saturday, the 24th through the 30th. So the 29th then is the Friday, which is when the luncheon is.
Yes.
Okay.
And then finals on Saturday.
Okay. So that's coming up on the 29th. Now, It's just been a really great week for local businesses as well, as we received a release from the Kansas Chamber of Commerce, which is the statewide organization, on Thursday. And a company that's got quite a few employees here in Hutchinson is the Chamber's 2024 Ad Astra Award honoree.
That is such exciting news and a well-earned honor. You know, the Lawrence Paper Company and their location here that we know as American Packaging is has just continued to grow here. It's been a mainstay of our economy down in South Hutchinson. And it's been about 3 years ago they embarked on a major expansion, more than doubled in size, added about 100,000 square feet. Tony Schleich and his team there just continue to do more automation in that facility. And then, of course, they have the presence in Lawrence, and they're very involved in the Kansas Chamber. They're involved in our chamber, and we're just excited that they received that honor. We've been bestowing honors as well at our own awards night last week, but really happy to see this award for Lawrence Paper Company.
And again, that'll be part of the Kansas Chamber's annual dinner, which is a huge event, and it's late April in Topeka as well. And you can find out more about that at kansaschamber.org/annual dinner. But speaking of awards night, which we haven't talked since then, that's a great opportunity for you to get the businesses together locally and talk about specific categories of business and just how successful they've been over the last year.
That's right. You know, we turned this into a full evening event about 3 years ago, and it's mostly because we were giving a Small Business of the Year award and a legacy award, but there are so many other deserving volunteers across the spectrum of the community and our chamber, and we wanted to honor those. And so there were six categories of awards given that night. The first of those was the Ambassador of the Year, and we gave two because we had a tie, and that is scored by those that are our ambassadors that are out helping us with ribbon cuttings and helping us advocate for the chamber. So Marva Terrell and Rochelle Fiddledye both received the Ambassador of the Year award. And then we also gave a Rising Star award for a young professional in our community that is doing great things, rising. And just whether it's volunteering with youth or putting together initiatives that are improving our community. And the winner of that award this year was Dave Sotelo with the City of Hutchinson. And then we also do what's called a veteran-owned or veteran-supporting business. And this one we created a couple of years ago. It was sponsored by One Oak. And they really wanted to honor a business that does something for the veteran community or also as a veteran themselves. And this year, former Air Force veteran Diane Blick with Keller Williams Hometown Partners, Blick Homes, was the winner of that category. We also want to honor those minority and women-owned businesses in the community. And this year, the winner of that category was Sarah Nolan at Board and Brush. And then the Small Business of the Year Award is, we give a Small Business of the Month Award at every one of our chamber breakfasts through the year. And then those 12 monthly winners are scored by a committee and the sponsors of this award. And this year that went to Shayna Washigay with the Rock Group. And then lastly, the Legacy Award. And we created the Legacy Award about 6 years ago at our annual meeting. And it's been bestowed on folks like Jay Schrock at Woodwork Manufacturing. A couple years ago, Hubco, DCI last year, Nation Meyer 1 year was honored at our awards night. And so this year, the Legacy Award, we split it into two categories, one for a legacy business and the other for a legacy individual. And so the Legacy Award winner, an 83-year-old business in our community, is Conklin Automotive Group. And so they accepted that award. And then lastly, the Legacy Award for an individual went to Harlan Priddle, posthumously, the late Harlan Priddle. And many of you know Harlan's story. He was from Haven, Kansas. He went on to do great things. He also served in the military, served in President Nixon's team on communications, came back to Kansas after 22 years in the military, and dedicated his life to several things. He actually once upon a time worked for the Kansas State Fair. He worked for a bank here in town, but he at one point was tapped to be the Secretary of Agriculture. and served in that capacity. Later, ran for on one of the gubernatorial tickets as a lieutenant governor candidate, and then was selected to be this Kansas's first Secretary of Commerce. And that really, I think, defined the rest of his life, working in economic development for Kansas communities, but really for this community and this county. And so when he retired from that role and came back, he did a lot of things, but one of the things was helped found what's called the K-96 Development Corridor Association. And that group has put together an affiliate of communities that are up and down K-96 from Sedgwick County to Reno County. And he really devoted his time to helping shore that up. And then, of course, he's been retired and had moved to Oklahoma to be closer to family, but he stayed in touch with us. He cared about what was happening in Haven and Reno County and always sent words of encouragement for the things happening back here. And it was always good to get an email or a call from Harlan. And so we invited his family, and his daughter came and accepted the award. She's lives in Pennsylvania and came all the way back for that. So it was a very special night for a lot of folks, and it's just good to pause and recognize people for what they do.
We'll take a quick break and be back with more with Deborah Tufel coming up. Back on the BW Morning Show, Nick Gosnell and Deborah Tufel with the Hutchins and Reno County Chamber of Commerce Downtown Master Plan. The drawings and all of that for the big picture has been done, but now it gets down to the nitty gritty. What happens first? What happens next? And how does that work? And that's why the chamber's got somebody focused on downtown. I know that a lot of what Dave Sotelo is going to be doing on the city side is going to be related to downtown. So it feels like things are just continuing to come together to try to not only have a neat little graphic that people can look at, but actually execute it.
That's right. Now that we have the plan, Olson Studios, you know, walked us through for 18 months, visioning exercises and getting ideas from people all across the community. And we had charrettes downtown and some public forums, even in some online sessions. And all of that data now is wrapped up into what is now out on the website, downtownhutchmasterplan.com. But the real work now begins in the technical committee, in the downtown coalition, in our downtown promotions committee. And we were talking yesterday, this work is not going to be the work of one organization. While the city and Downtown Hutch helped collaborate to, you know, help pay for the plan, and we had philanthropy stepping up to the table to help pay part of the cost. Laura Meyer Dick and the Nation Meyer Fund helped fund part of the plan. Now it is up to all of us to work together to take the action plan and start putting it into place. And so while, yes, there are some pretty maps and it talks about different districts and how we might brand those, one of the first things coming out of it is, you know, getting buy-in from the city council, getting buy-in from the downtown business community, and engaging residents in the area that live and work downtown. And then how do we take all of that energy and passion and the people that care about it and put it into place to come up with our own kind of unified branding for downtown? There may be a point where we get to some new directional signage and wayfinding signs and all of that. And we want to make sure that it's all conveyed in a way that is synergistic with the city's brand and a downtown brand. And then, energizing it with a vibrant economy. There are people at work right now putting together plans for renovation of the landmark, maybe a Starbond district. We just talked about, could that mean another hotel downtown someday? Taking the historical flair of downtown and the arts and culture that are already present, but building on that. And so creating walkable opportunities for the sculpture walk again, for the mural walks, and telling the story of downtown in a way that engages people and brings people downtown. And then there's a big piece of it about activating spaces, creating festival districts. Hutch Rec was at the table yesterday, and they already do so much to activate space on Third Thursday and through Hutch Fest, but there are more ways that we can all be working together. And activating spaces then helps energize the economy because it's bringing foot traffic, and then people see the retail stores, and it all just helps feed on each other. So I'm excited. Sarah Diamond is our downtown manager now, and she's really going to be helping be the convener. But like I said, this work is shared across so many organizations that are part of the details of implementation.
But there are two words you didn't say in all of that that I want to bring up before we run out of time. Memorial Hall. The improvements to that building are going to be one of the big pieces. As I was talking about the walking downtown in Salina on Santa Fe to the Stiefel Theater, the Fox is a wonderful place, and it has been kept up well and is taken care of beautifully. But there need to be other venues in the downtown corridor, and Memorial Hall is one of those, and the plan is there. Now that needs to be executed.
And it wasn't studied as part of this plan, but the city did its own study alongside this so that they can understand what is needed to really reactivate Memorial Hall in a real way. And it's not a small price tag, but it's a very significant, what I would call an anchor. And there are several anchors in this plan. When you look at the map, I feel like it's really anchored by what might happen with the landmark, what we can do with Memorial Hall, what we do with kind of between the railroad tracks on both ends of downtown, and then what's going to happen with Woody Seat and how we re-energize that area after Woody Seat Freeway sees its redesign. So, and then the area on the easternmost side of it, they've rebranded as the Garage District, which is interesting because it does have kind of an industrial feel. And so I'm excited to see how this all comes together for good for the next few years.
Again, we're talking to Deborah Tufel with the Hutchinson-Reno County Chamber of Commerce. Our thanks to her for her time. It's KWBW Hutchinson, Kansas. It's 8 o'clock.